Mike Yardley's taking us on a trip to the Waitaki Lakes District this morning. Kia ora. Kia ora. Hey.
Kia ora, Jack. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks. Loud and clear. How are things?
Very good, thank you. Now, by the way, have you got any fresh family adventures to share with the nation today?
I can safely report that I don't think my dad is not going to be allowed to go out tramping by himself, I don't think, anytime soon, ever again, probably, yeah. Which is not necessarily a bad thing for the stress levels for the rest of us. No major dramas to report.
That's
after
good.
Last week, thank goodness. Yeah. But, yes, no, I'm a bit worried, though, that over summer he might have a bit of free time on his hand. One of the rescuers texted me after the Sunday story went to air to ask if Dad had considered trying to swim the Cook Strait. Because yes. But, some valuable lessons learned, Mike.
Certainly were. Yeah.
So Waitaki Lakes, which is in the not the absolute lowest part of the South Island, but on the in the Waitaki district. And when I think of the top end of that district, it's Omarama, right?
Absolutely, yeah. That crowns the upper Waitaki Valley. And in terms of the Lakes district, essentially that stretches from Omarama to Kurau. So it's the upper Waitaki Valley. By the way, I love how Omarama translates as place of light, which I think is the most fitting description for Omarama, because you've got those big skies, people rave about the clarity of the light and the starkness of the landscape. It is just such a beautiful name for that place.
Right.
And I think, as you know, we have this slow ride out of the pandemic deck, wide open spaces holds extra appeal at the moment. And I think that's why a lot of people are starting to take a lot more interest in the Lakes District, because it also has a lot of hidden gems.
Yeah, the Paritia clay cliffs are fantastic, eh?
They are just staggering, and I think most visitors who go there are actually quite genuinely blown away how good they are. And to me, it's actually a bit similar to what we were talking about a few weeks ago in the Wairarapa with the Putangarua pinnacles, which, as I mentioned to you at the time, you know, very reminiscent of Utah. And the Paritia clay cliffs are not that different, really. These gigantic fluted columns, and I love how you can see all of the layers of different coloured stone in those columns. So you've got like clay stone and sandstone all ripped up by earthquakes over the millennia. And just all thrusting up from this wide sweeping eroded cliff face. It really is quite amazing. The cliffs are actually on private land. It's about a 20-minute drive from Omarama. And because they're on private land, it's a gravel road you've got to go on to reach the cliffs. So they do charge $5 a car just to cover road maintenance costs.
Oh,
but it's $5 well invested.
Yeah. Okay, what about O Te Matata?
Yes, well, this place is further down the valley from Omarama and was a construction town for the nearby power stations. Today it is just your superb tourist base to lap up everything that's good about the Lakes District. And a bit like Twizel, hundreds of those hydro houses are still there. They were permanently retained as holiday cottages and residential homes. And it is such a well-positioned point to stay at, because directly to your left, you've got New Zealand's largest man-made lake, Benmore, and then to the right, Lake Aviemore. And edging the lake, the Wetlands Trail is the most magnificent circuit that they've developed in about the last 10 years or so. Great places for picnics on that Wetlands Trail. And also I really like Pumpkin Point, which is on the lake side of Benmore. That would have to be one of New Zealand's greatest picnic spots, I reckon, Jack.
Yeah.
And very quickly, if you're up for a bigger stroll, the Benmore Peninsula Track is this 4K loop walk, which just serves up the most amazing views of that electric blue lake. And you can see Mount Cook carving up the skyline to the north. If you do it early in the morning, that's best, because that's when the weather is typically very calm.
Yeah, nice. Did you check out the hydro dams?
Yeah, I love those hydro dams.
They're amazing, eh? Incredible, just feats of engineering.
That's it. Absolutely. Just the sheer heft of it is so awe-inspiring. And I love how you can drive right on top of that Benmore Hydro Dam spillway, which gives you such a great sense of our biggest ever construction project in New Zealand. The water capacity of Lake Benmore, I thought was rather staggering. Apparently that lake holds 1.5 times the amount of water in Wellington Harbour. So that's quite a lot of water. And from the hydro dam, there's actually a really cool drive, which I only became aware of a couple of weeks ago when I was down there. And it takes you along the northern side of the lakes, Benmore and Aviemore, all the way down to the Aviemore hydro dam. And the good thing about that drive is it just serves up the most brilliant hill country views and gives you a great overview of just how immense and elaborate the whole Waitaki Lakes hydro scheme is.
And what did you think of Kurau?
I love Kurau. I mean, obviously, if you're a rugby fan, you've got to pop into the Kurau Museum because they've done a very good job showcasing the life and times to date of their most famous son, Mr. McCaw. The pub itself, which is right next door, is a curiosity, I reckon, Jack, because it dates back to 1864, sort of Gold Rush era. Half this pub, it's a two-story pub, half of it is painted bright yellow, the other half is painted blue. And I only just realised the reason they did that is because it's essentially a tribute. The previous owner had a preference for DB, the current owner prefers Spates. So that's how they've ended up with this sort of two-tone colour scheme.
Yeah, I like that. And the local wines are getting plenty of interest.
Yes, the Valley probably is home to New Zealand's youngest wine region. And I think they only planted their first vines about 20 years ago. But there's now 13 wineries in business in the Waitaki Valley, just around sort of the Kurau area. Very much making use of those rich limestone soils and obviously a very arid climate. So it sort of lends itself to Burgundy-style wines. Pinot Noir, Pinot Gris, Riesling, they are the dominant varietals. It's very boutique-y. A lot of the wineries there, they will hand-harvest their grapes. Great fun checking out this region. River Tea Wines and Osler Wines both operate excellent cellar door tasting experiences.
Fantastic. Ah, it's a tough life you lead, Mike. I know we say that almost every week. Thank you so much.